here, I was a part of a church up in Middle Georgia, and they were passionate about going out to eat together. Some churches are passionate about eating at the church. Some are passionate about, you know, we just show up and we do our business and we go home. This was a church that was passionate about going out to eat together. And the men's ministry of that church, the way that it operated was they met on Tuesday nights. It was the first Tuesday of every month. And the way that they structured it was you had to come to the meeting to know where they were going to eat afterwards. The eating out afterwards was the carrot. That was what was driving people to be there. And so, but you had to sit through the meeting. We had to get through the important part first, and then we would go eat. And it was usually, you know, some kind of buffet. I mean, it's not like my normal type fare, but it was what these guys liked. And so we would go. And when I say that they were committed to eating out, they were the kind of people that brought like their own salt shaker from home. Have you ever been around people like that? It's a special breed. So, I mean, they bring their own sauces and everything. But there was one thing that was really, really, y'all are like looking around at people. Anyways, so there was one thing that was really, really interesting about the way that they ate out. There were a few guys in the group that whenever they got their plate ready, if it was a buffet or the food came, if it was a serve restaurant, they would pull out a bag of cayenne peppers, okay? They would pull out a bag of cayenne peppers. One guy would just sit there and eat them like he was eating peanuts. I mean, it was very interesting. But they all had like these little bags of cayenne peppers, like they were pulling drugs out of their wallets or something. And so, and they would add these cayenne peppers to whatever they were eating. And I observed this for a few months after I got there. And finally, I was like, guys, what's the deal with the cayenne peppers? And one of the guys says, all right, so Woody over there, Woody had a cayenne pepper plant about 20 years ago. And what he did was he started, what's the word you like, propagated? He started like pulling off seedlings from it and gifting them to other people. And so there's like this entire family of cayenne pepper plants that have survived the past 20 years that all go back to this origin. And they are the best cayenne peppers that we have ever had. And so we always bring them when we go out to eat so that we can have that special cayenne pepper flavor in the food because we know it goes back to that original plant and it's always been so good. So finally I tried one and listen, I've had authentic Mexican food in New Mexico. I have been to Thailand. Holy fire. I mean, good gracious. These things were, I mean, I don't know how these people still have taste buds after 20 years, but nonetheless, they were passionate about their cayenne peppers. And what was significant about it was they knew the source of where it came from. They knew the source of where it came from, and they knew that it was going to produce a good crop every year when they were in season, and they kept going back to it over and over and over again and making it a part of their gatherings together. Now, this is significant for us because this morning we're going to talk about the idea of what does a fruitful life look like. And I believe it all goes back to where we're drawing from and what our source is and where we originate. And so we're going to take a look at that. There's a scripture where Jesus talked about what it meant to be fruitful. And when we think of fruitful, a lot of times we think of, okay, what are you producing? What are the results? What are the things people can point to that you have achieved, that you have produced with your life? You might look at things you've done in terms of your accomplishments or your accolades, or it might be, you know, something related to your family, you know, oh, we've produced a good family. And all of that's well and good. But when Jesus talked about fruit, he didn't talk about it from the standpoint of, you know, what is the output of your life. He talked about it from what is the character of your life. And this is the way he describes it. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 33, he references this a few times throughout his ministry, but this one's very succinct the way he says it. Make a tree good and its fruit will be good, or make a tree bad and the fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. And this is a theme that Jesus would echo multiple times, that you recognize a tree by the fruit that it produces. You recognize the source of someone's quality by the quality of the fruit that is produced by their life. And so the question for us is, how can we live a fruitful life, and what should the fruit of our life look like? When we think about living a fruitful life, what should a fruitful life look like, and what should that fruit look like? You think about a cayenne pepper family of plants that's passed down from generation to generation, and it all has the same originating source, and they know what it's going to produce and the quality that's going to be produced. In our lives, what should that fruit look like? What should the outcome of our character and our way of life be in the way that we live? So we have this passage that Emily read a few moments ago, and we're going to look at this passage because it talks about the idea of fruit and what we produce with our lives and what the character of our lives looks like. So Paul, just to kind of give you a little bit of context, Paul has been talking to the Galatians who were kind of caught up in a little bit of a misunderstanding at the time that he's writing to them. They had been influenced by a group of people who said, you've got to follow all of the Jewish law if you want to be a follower of Jesus. And so Paul is writing to them essentially to say, hey, Jesus came, we acknowledge and we see the value in the law, but we are not under the law anymore. Instead, we are led by Christ's Spirit, and we ought to live lives that are aligned with Christ's Spirit. And so in the midst of that, when he's talking about how we are not under the law, we have been set through the freedom, and we've been set free from our sins because of Jesus' presence in our lives, he starts talking about this idea of the fruit that we produce and what our lives ought to look like. And so in verse 16, we pick up in chapter 5 of Galatians, he says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And what he is calling upon them to do, we're going to get to fruit in a second. That's in the next verses we're going to look at. But what he is getting at is that if you are led by the Spirit, your life ought to be characterized by the Spirit. And he talks about this conflict that exists between our kind of human nature. The way of the flesh is kind of the language that he uses. When he talks about flesh, he's not talking about our physical skin and body construction. What he is talking about is our human nature. He is talking about our natural human sinful nature. And he says, if you have been set free by the Spirit, you walk in freedom, and that's what governs your life. Your life should not be governed by the desires of the flesh. Your life should not be governed by the law, even as great as the law was and how it guided God's people. Instead, you are led by the Spirit. And so the question for us is what is leading our lives? We've talked a lot in the last few weeks about following the Holy Spirit and living a life that's aligned with the Holy Spirit. And if we live a life that's aligned with the Holy Spirit, we are living our lives in a different way than the pattern of the world. Last week, we talked about a sanctified life. A sanctified life is a life that is growing in the direction of the character of Jesus. It's growing in love. It's growing in the values that were important to the heart of Jesus, because when you live a life that is aligned with the Holy Spirit, then your life is going to start looking like that of the Holy Spirit. And it all is about who is leading you. So the question for us, when we think about our lives, when we think about what governs us, is who's leading you? Who is your master? What is it that you would say gives the most direction and guidance to your life? Is it your human temptation, your flesh? Is it the way and the desires of the world? Is it even, you know, going back to the law? Is it you're governed by kind of a legalistic mindset of having to do all the right things to the point that you can't walk in freedom and can't walk in joy? Or are you led by the Spirit? When you see a group of people who all understand what it means to be led in the same direction, it's powerful to see the way that it transpires. I think about this from a sporting standpoint. I love football. Football is probably the sport that I've watched the most. And for years, for really two decades, the National Football League was dominated largely by the New England Patriots. The New England Patriots had a head coach who was a little bit of a head case, but he had a way of doing things And Bill Belichick's motto, his mantra for the entire organization was, do your job. If everyone does their job, we will all move in the same direction. We will all move to the goal that we want to achieve, which is, of course, winning championships. And they won six of them over the course of two decades in a system that was designed not to have the same team win over and over and over again. But they did it because they all committed to doing their job. And that became the mantra, and everybody followed it, and they went along with it. You think about college football. You think about Nick Saban and the years he had at Alabama. He called it the process. If everybody follows the process, and you stick with the process, and you're aligned with the process, then these are the results that it's going to produce. Kirby Smart brought that to Georgia and won a couple of championships earlier this decade. And it's all built on the idea of, if we are all moving in the same direction, if we all understand who we're being led by and we start to take on the character of the one that's leading us, then we are going to be led in the right direction. There's a beautiful analogy that I heard about John chapter 15. We're going to read a passage from John chapter 15 a little bit later. But John chapter 15 is the vine and the branches, and it talks about us being connected to Jesus and that being our master. And if we are aligned with Jesus, if we are connected to him, if we are following him, then our life will be shaped by that, and our lives will produce fruit. That's one of the other areas of scripture where Jesus talks about producing fruit with our lives. And I heard this analogy that I thought was incredible, and it was about a guy who was building something at his house, and as he went to go build it, he had a template, he had a master piece of wood that he was working off of, and he realized that he needed to make about 20 different pieces of wood that were all measured exactly the same. And so what he did was he took the first one, and he cut it exactly right, measured it exactly the way it was, and they said, okay, I'm going to just copy off of this one. So he copied off of that one. And then he copied off of the copy, and then he copied off of the copy, and they just kind of kept going and kept going and kept going. And then by the time he went to go assemble what he was building, it wasn't aligned perfectly because he had gotten away from the original template that he started with and the original measurements that he had measured off of. He just kept copying a copy and a copy and a copy and a copy. But then when he tried it again, he kept measuring everything off of the original. And when he measured everything off of the original, it fit together perfectly, exactly the way that it was designed, exactly the way that it was supposed to be constructed. And for us, if we keep going back to the Spirit, if we keep going back to the source, if we keep going back to Jesus as the standard of our lives and the way that Jesus lived as the standard for our lives, that's what's going to lead us in the right direction. That's what's going to point us in the direction that we want to go, away from the pattern of this world, which is not as concerned with the way of Jesus, but instead following the way of Jesus and letting that being the defining characteristic of our lives. Emily made a very, very interesting allusion to verses we weren't going to read this morning, and this is the way that they begin. So that first one is, we know, you can go to the slide before that. So we are recognized by how we are led. You think about what the fruit of our lives and what it produces, we are going to be recognized by how we are led and who is leading us. And so then we get to verse 19, and it says, the acts of the flesh are obvious. And because Paul has said that the acts of the flesh are obvious, I'm not going to read the list. But you can read the list later. But it's a lot of things that you would look at and go, yeah, that's pretty obvious that that's not the way of Jesus. That's pretty obvious that that's not the way that we ought to live. And what it reminds us of is that those are the things that we're supposed to be fleeing from. The fruit of our lives will also be recognized by what are you fleeing. We are going to be recognized by what we are fleeing, what we are avoiding, what are we're pushing aside in our lives. There's an amazing story I heard one time about a Brazilian pastor. And this Brazilian pastor was sharing the story about his dad, who was a pastor. And he said, you know, my dad was a pastor in Brazil, and he would go on these evangelism tours, and he would travel all over the Brazilian countryside. And one time he was traveling on a bus. It was a night bus. And he said, my dad was married to my wife for many, many years, very faithful. And there was a woman on the night bus who started, you know, kind of making some advances in his direction. And so what he did, it was one of those buses where you can like pull the chain and it'll stop the bus. He literally, in the middle of the night, in the middle of the countryside, who knows where they were, he reaches up, grabs the chain, pulls it. The doors to the bus open up. He sprints as fast as he can away from the bus and never looked back. He just went and found the nearest town and found another bus and then kept going with his mission. And this Brazilian pastor was sharing this with me, and he said, that's what it means to flee from sin. That's a perfect example of what it means to flee from the things that might lead us astray. We run the other direction. We run away from them. And to live a fruit-filled life, to live a life that's truly led by the Spirit, it's going to require us to turn away from the things that might lead us in the direction that would compromise our faith in Jesus, that would compromise our relationships with others, and would keep us from living a Holy Spirited life. And so we want to make sure that we're fleeing the wrong things. But here's the counterpart to that. We need to be embracing and running towards the things that are going to lead to life. And so that's where this passage gets absolutely beautiful. And this is where, my friends, we are going to stay awake in the spirit of our music today. And we are about to have a little bit of fun. Are you ready? Okay. Kenji, four people are ready. It's just, you're one of them. Okay, all right. Just making sure that you're still with me. Okay, if Kenji's with me, that's half the battle. All right, here we go. So, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance. Most translations say patience right there. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And if you are reading this in the original Greek of Paul writing, I just want you to know that little phrase right there where he says, against such things, there is no law, the literal translation is mic drop. Paul says this and he says, mic drop. He says, that's the end of the story. Against such things, there is no law. So what is the fruit of the Spirit? What does the fruit of the Spirit look like? What are the things we're supposed to embrace and run towards? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Let's substitute the word patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So VBS starts tonight. VBS is always known, always known and remembered for the amazing music that you learn as a part of VBS. I have been a part of VBSs years ago. I still remember the songs. I wake up with them jingling in my head sometimes in the middle of the night, and then I run. Now, it's amazing how much of the story of Vacation Bible School we can teach through music. And when I was growing up, there was a song that we learned about the fruit of the Spirit. You might have learned this one when you were growing up as well. And it goes something like this. Are you ready? The fruit of the Spirit is not a banana. The fruit of the Spirit is not a banana. If you want to follow the Spirit, you might as well hear it. I'm sorry, if you want to be a banana, you might as well hear it. You can't be a fruit of the Spirit, okay? So that's the way that the verse went. And then the chorus was just this verse right here. For the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But it's not just self-control, it's self-control, That's the way that you pronounce it in this particular song. So the way you would do it is you would sing it and you would go, the fruit of the Spirit's not a banana, the fruit of the Spirit's not a banana. If you want to be a banana, you might as well hear it. You can't be a fruit of the Spirit because the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All right, so we're all going to join together in this. All right, you're ready. I have taught you the song. It is Vacation Bible School week. You may not be able to make it from 5:30 to 8 every night this week from Sunday through Wednesday, but you are going to get your taste of VBS this morning by the grace of God. So here we go. All right. The fruit of the Spirit's not a banana. The fruit of the Spirit's not a banana. If you want to be a banana, then you might as well hear it. You can't be a fruit of the Spirit because the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All right, now we sing it again. And what's going to happen is you're going to have to exercise some discipline. If we're going to be led by the Spirit, we've got to have some discipline. And the way that we're going to engage in this discipline is we are going to sing this faster than we did the last time, but we still need to pronounce every syllable exactly the way that it's supposed to be pronounced. So here we go. The fruit of the Spirit's not a banana. The fruit of the Spirit's not a banana. If you want to be a banana, then you might as well hear it. You can't be a fruit of the Spirit, for the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And one more time, even faster than the last. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Amen. Right? Okay. So Here's the beauty of this. Here's the beauty of this. I learned this song 30 years ago. I still know the fruit of the Spirit, okay? I have never forgotten the fruit of the Spirit, and that's the beauty of music and the way that it teaches us the things that we need to learn that need to guide and govern our lives. Now, here's the unfortunate reality. I know these, but I don't always live these. And that's the challenge for us if we want to have a fruit-filled life. We need to be people that are aligned with what these ideas play out in our lives. One of the things that I love doing, there's a famous passage also written by the Apostle Paul, written in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, in which he says that love is patient, love is kind. You might have heard it. It's a beautiful little phrase often used at weddings and other important events. And what you can do to make sure that you are living according to God's love is you can substitute your name for the word love. I think you can do the same thing with the fruit of the Spirit. And when you read that, you might ask yourself, but Anthony is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And you want to be able to say that without, you know, your fingers crossed behind your back. You might want to insert your name. Am I love, joy, peace, patience, you know, go on through the list. Because we are going to be recognized. We're going to be recognized by what we produce. We're going to be recognized by the fruit of our lives. And the fruit of our lives is going to be defined by the character of who we are. If we want to follow Jesus, if we want to be, to belong to Jesus, it's not about trying to live a perfect life. It's about growing in faith and love in the direction of what his character looks like. It is about staying so connected and so consistent in our lives that we grow in that direction. I want to share with you just a couple of people I've known over the years that I think exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. One of them is the guy I mentioned earlier, Woody, who was the original guy who grew those cayenne pepper plants. Woody had a testimony. He would have sang that song earlier, my testimony, from death to life, and he would have meant every single word of what was sung. Woody had lived a wild life. He had lived a life where he was the life of the party. He was committed to the desires of the flesh and the pattern of this world. But God got a hold of him. He became a recovering alcoholic. He ended up using his testimony and what was once something that made him the life of the party, turned him into an evangelist where he went and proclaimed God's truth and love to people who were in recovery, to the point that when he was a part of that church, there was a good contingent of that church who had all been led to Christ by Woody and were a part of his Sunday school class. And Woody was not a pastor. Woody was not an evangelist. He wasn't going to go on a big speaking tour around any country. Woody was a CPA. But Woody used what God did in his life. That was nothing against CPAs. Woody did what God did in his life, and he used it to live a life that was characterized by love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I remember when I first met him, he just kept walking around going, "Are you as excited as I am?" And I was like, "I don't know what we're excited for, but I'm excited because you're excited." I mean, that was just the way that he lived. He lived with so much joy, and he exhibited the fruit of the Spirit. And because he exhibited the fruit of the Spirit, people looked at him and they said, "I want to know the God that you know. I want to know the love that you've experienced in your life." And because of that, people's lives were changed, and there was fruit, both tangible and intangible, produced by his life because of what God had done in and through him. Woody ended up, while I was there, he ended up losing his legs. He had been a diabetic and had years of hard living had finally caught up with him. He ended up losing his legs. He was on dialysis, and he would go to dialysis after he was turned down for a kidney transplant. And I remember talking to him and saying, "Gosh, I'm so sorry that you were turned down for that transplant." He says, "It's okay. There are so many people in need of hope that I meet at dialysis every time I go. I can't wait to go back and share more joy with them." I mean, there was a perspective and a fruit of that kind of life that was amazing. I think back to someone I worked for one time. He's a pastor who's been faithful for many decades. And he said that for him, he learned early on in his walk with Christ that he just needed about half an hour to 45 minutes every single morning to spend time praying, sitting in the presence of God, reading the scriptures. He says, I don't read through the Bible in a year. I don't do any sort of, you know, major plan or anything. He just said, but that consistency of every day, waking up, getting to know the Holy Spirit, getting to know the voice of God in my life, is what has sustained me. And there's been fruit produced from his life because of that consistency. I thought about this consistency last year. I was going through doing some reflections during the season of Advent, and one day my reflection was on the word fruit. And I thought about right across the street from my front yard, one of our neighbors, we live on a corner lot, so we've got like neighbors on like 28 sides. It's awesome. And so one of our neighbors that we love, they let us pick fruit from their trees every winter. And there's grapefruit, there's lemons, there's satsumas, and it's always awesome. And the thing that I appreciate about the fruit that's produced from their trees is that it's always consistent. You always know what to expect. You always know that at the right time, at the time of harvest, that it's going to be perfect. And why is it perfect? Because they take care of their yard. They take care of their crops. There is consistent water that is provided to it. There is consistent sunlight for where it has been placed in their yard. And that continuous nurturing from the same consistent source year after year produces fruit year after year. And for us, if we want to experience a fruit-filled life, if we want to experience a lives that reflect the character and the love of Jesus, we've got to stay connected. This is the way that Jesus said it. I mentioned John chapter 15 earlier, and this is the way that Jesus said it in John chapter 15. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. For Jesus, it wasn't enough just to say, I go to church regularly. For Jesus, it wasn't enough to say, I was saved at Vacation Bible School once upon a time. For Jesus, he wanted to stay connected. He wanted to stay connected to us. He wanted to be in relationship with us. And by being in relationship with us, we get to stay connected to that vine. We get to stay connected to that source. And that is what makes the tangible and the intangible difference in our lives and sets us on fire to be people of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And here's what we know. The fruit-filled life is going to be one that looks like the one we follow. If we align our lives with the character of Jesus, if we are following Jesus, if we are connected to that vine, if that is the master template that we model our lives around, we're going to get it right 10 times out of 10. That doesn't mean that we're going to be perfect, but that means that we are going to be going in the right direction with our lives. And so I go back to a question I asked earlier in the service. What are you being led by? What is your source? What is your connection? Are you being led by the pattern of this world? Are you being led by the desires of the flesh that Scripture calls upon us to flee and to run from? Or are you living a life that is aligned with the Spirit so that your life can become a fruitful life that not only blesses others, it will bless you and it will change everything inside and outside of you? My prayer for us as a church, my prayer for people who wandered in here today and have never been here before, and people who drop in from time to time, my prayer for us is that we would be people that reflect the character of Jesus, and that when people encounter us, they don't have to learn a Vacation Bible School song about bananas to know what the fruit of the Spirit is. I pray they see it in us.